little sugar in my bowl.
A lot of people say they couldn't live without Nina Simone. I'm one of them. But nobody can live without sugar. You need sugar. It's how we burn energy and actually survive. Glucose, of course, is the sugar in our metabolic cycle. But the sugar that we find in our foods is made up of many different kinds of chemicals. And the question is, are they toxic? Are they good for us? We have all kinds of guilt associated with eating sugar. But what's the chemistry of this situation? Marion Nestle joins us, professor of nutrition at New York University and author of What to Eat. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Barry Popkin also joins us, distinguished professor of global nutrition at the University of North Carolina School of Public Health. Barry Popkin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Marion, when we say that sugar is toxic, and lots of nutritionists talk about the problems of refined sugar and sucrose and, excessive eating of certain kinds of sugars, lay out the distinctions between the sugar in our diet and the sugar that we need in our metabolism.
Well, the sugar in our metabolism is glucose, and that's what keeps our brains running. The sugars in our diet contain include many other kinds. The one that's under discussion these days is fructose. But let me just say right off the bat, we're not talking about the fructose, which is the normal sugar in fruit. Nobody is concerned about anybody eating fruit. Where the concern comes in is in the enormous quantity of fructose that's consumed, because it is part of both table sugar, the white stuff on the table, and it's part of high fructose corn syrup. And the average American has available about 120 pounds of those two sugars, of which half will be fructose.
Talking with Marion Nestle, professor of nutrition at New York University, author of What to Eat. Barry Popkin, the proliferation of high fructose corn syrup, which is a commodity in its own right. It's processed from corn and is in almost all food that we get in the United States. Globally, what is the impact of high fructose corn syrup on the health of the world?
Well, first off, it's really not just high fructose corn syrup. It's any sugar. As Marion noted, brown sugar, white table sugar, corn syrup sugar, any kind of sugar has identical amounts of fructose in it. The high fructose corn syrup became very important globally because it was cheaper. It had a little bit more intensity of sweetness, and the food industry moved to it in many countries. But in reality, it's, as Marion said, it's the too much of all the sugars in our diet that's the problem.
Now, Barry Popkin, you hear this all the time. I mean, my grandmother tells me that, too much of anything is going to hurt you. In the case of sugar, though, are we seriously evolved to eat much less sugar than we do, even though our taste buds encourage us to eat lots and lots of sugar? Our bodies are really not capable of handling much more than, the amount of sugar that you would get at a typical fruit harvest, right?
Absolutely. And when our sweet taste evolved, it was to eat some berries, so we got certain vitamins and minerals that came only from fruit. However, you take a glass of orange juice, and you're talking 6-8 oranges, and you multiply that by what the average American consumes, and we're talking about 3-4 cans of soft drink, glasses of juice, and a vast amount of sugar in our beverages, and a reasonable amount of sugar in our food. And it's that total amount that creates this potential toxicity, as we might call it.
It's Barry Popkin, distinguished professor of global nutrition at the University of North Carolina School of Public Health. Marion Nestle, let's go back to that for a moment. I mean, we are evolved to eat sugar in concert with other nutrients associated with the harvest of berries and fruits that, have all kinds of natural sugar in them. It's not the sugar per se. It's the concentration of sugar, the creation of a kind of sugar brew that is really the thing that's inimical to public health.
Nobody is worried about a little sugar in anybody's diet. The for years, recommendations were that you shouldn't have more than 10% of your daily calories from added sugars. And for most people, that would be in the range of 200 or 300 calories a day. And really, no one is concerned about that. But most Americans, the average American, consumes twice as much as that, 20 to 25% of calories from added sugars. And that puts a burden on metabolism that our metabolisms just weren't evolved to handle.
All right, to both of you, before we go, how do you get humans off sugar after all the high fructose corn syrup we've consumed over the last two generations? Mary, and you first, then Barry.
Well, you vote against the soft drinks and juice drinks and other kinds of beverages. That's the worst place where they are.
Marian Nestle calling for regulations against industries that push sugar on people. She's professor of nutrition at New York University and author of What to Eat. Barry Popkin, your recommendation?
The same thing. Drink water. Drink low-sweetened tea, coffee, even drink diet beverages compared to drinking all these high-calorie fruit juices and soft drinks.
Right, that's good advice, Barry, but how do you make people do it?
We ban it from the schools, which has happened in 20 countries. We tax them like we're doing in several countries. We tax the sugar added in the beverages.
We could balance the budget, maybe, by taxing sugar.
Absolutely.
Barry Popkin, Distinguished Professor of Global Nutrition at the University of North Carolina School of Public Health. Not a sweet tooth.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.